There are many Christians out there today who are suffering the effects of deeply rooted condemnation. They feel within their hearts that they have committed the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin. Some people are there crying out and wondering whether they can ever reach out to taste of the joy of the Lord after what they have done in the past. But today we are going to look at the mind of God in relation to the unforgivable sin. Or we can call it the sin unto death, or sin against the Holy Spirit. Let us try to understand what God intended to communicate to us through Jesus when he spoke about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Go quickly to the book of Matthew chapter 12 verse 30. It says, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come." Praise God. Now let us dig deep and understand what God is trying to communicate with us. He's talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. A sin, that cannot be forgiven. Before we can understand what this statement means, we have to first of all understand what the Spirit of God is all about. Why did the Lord send the Spirit of God? What is the Spirit of God? Jesus Christ referred to the Holy Spirit as the gift from God, the gift from above. He instructed the disciples to wait, to tarry at Jerusalem and wait for the gift that the Father had promised. And we know how they tarried, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended and they went about performing the same works that Jesus performed while he was here on earth. Now, without the gift of the Spirit that came upon them, there is no way they could have gone about doing the works that they did. In fact, it was as a result of their works that they were called Christians. Christians. They were called Christians because people saw Christ in them. They were Christ-like. They spoke like Christ. They walked like Christ. They manifested the same fruits that Christ manifested while he was upon the earth. Without the Spirit of God, there is no way they could have manifested that life of Christ. So right now, I'm beginning to get an idea of what the Spirit of God is all about. Jesus Christ told the disciples shortly before he left that they will become witnesses, his witnesses upon the earth, testifying about Christ upon the earth. Today, we who are being called to this same calling to witness the truth, to witness Christ also have to be aligned with the Spirit of God. Praise God. Because without the Spirit of God, there is no way we can be reconciled back into Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, before he left, breathed upon his disciples. He breathed and told them, receive the Spirit of God. You see this in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto you. And so whosoever sins you retain, they are retained unto you. See, Jesus Christ was giving them the mandate to go forth as his representatives upon the earth, the same way the Father had sent him upon the earth. The Father had sent Jesus and breathed upon Jesus, giving him that same spirit of life. That same spirit from the depth of God was breathed in Jesus. That is why Jesus was different from every other man. And that same spirit that Jesus had in him, he transmitted also unto his disciples. And they also were ordered to go forth transmitting the same spirit unto the others who will receive them. And he says to those, you know, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sin you retain, they are retained. What is Jesus Christ saying here? He's saying here that those who will receive the Spirit of God are those who will have their transgressions erased, are those who will have, you know, the effect of sin and death in their life canceled and annulled forever. These are those who will, you know, be able to escape the jaws of death and be reconciled back to God. Let us bear in mind that the transgression of man, true sin and true transgression, is simply man's deviation from the truth unto the lie. We know Christ is the truth. Somehow we all have deviated. We have received, you know, a spirit that is not of God. We have received the spirit that is of this dark age, and as a result, we have neglected the truth of God in us, and we have lived a lie all these years. That is why we suffered so much pain and anguish. That is why we suffered the consequences of death. That sin that Adam committed in the beginning was his receiving the lie of Satan, represented by the serpent. That is the spirit of man. The moment he received the spirit of man, he lost the attributes of God in him. He lost all trace of the glory of God in him. He was reduced into a mere mortal being of the dust. Dust you are, and dust to return. He lost his standing with God. That was the sin. See, at that point in time, believe it, he rejected the breath of God. Remember, it was the breath of God in Adam that placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was the breath of God in Adam that placed Adam in the place of life and authority. It was the breath of God in Adam that placed Adam in the place of, you know, rulership in God's kingdom. But the moment he transgressed by receiving of the lie of the spirit of the age, what happens? He dies off. You cannot receive of the spirit of this world and at the same time the spirit of God. Either you receive the spirit of God or you receive the spirit of man. There is no staying in between. It's either you are for me or you are against me. You cannot be, you know, in the light and in the darkness. You cannot walk as a man, a mortal man, and at the same time as the Son of God. You cannot walk as the second Adam and as the first Adam. You cannot walk as the man of the dust and at the same time walk as the man of the heaven. Praise God. So Adam sinned, he transgressed. And that is where death, he opened the door to death, to sin, to corruption, and to death. Because he transgressed, he sinned against the Holy Spirit. He sinned against the truth of God. Oh, hallelujah. See, when we receive the Spirit of God, that is the power of God that is able to set us free from a sinful nature. That is the power of God that is able to awaken us from the dead and, you know, bring us back into the realization of our light characteristics, of our God-like nature and character. It is the breath of God that is able to raise us up from the dust and cause us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's only by the breath of God that we can escape the darkness of this age. The Spirit of God leads us back to God. It leads us back into the union that we had with God in the beginning. Praise God. So when you try to reject the move of the Spirit, when you reject what God is doing, when you reject submitting to the truth, you simply have death. There is no way, you know, there's no other way to, you know, a man can be saved or forgiven or be healed. There's no other way a man can see life except he receives of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, which, like we know, was given to us to lead us into all truth. This is the gift of God. This is the promise of God. See, when we have the Spirit of God, we don't walk like men anymore. We don't walk anymore as natural human beings. But we walk as celestial light beings. We walk as God. We retain the nature of God our Father. You see it? Because we are governed now by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God reveals the mind of God, the depths of God. We begin to think like God. We begin to act like God. God doesn't get jealous. He doesn't get anxious. He doesn't get bitter. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't compete. He doesn't go out for vain glory. We walk as God. We are elevated from that lower devilish nature that we had in Adam. Praise God. So bear in mind that sin against the Holy Ghost is only, when a man sins against the Holy Ghost, what he's simply doing is rejecting his grace unto life. And when you reject your grace unto life, you carry on down this, you know, the path that leads to destruction. So you have to cancel from our mind all these things we hear about God coming down to look for somebody and, you know, to punish somebody or to kill somebody or to destroy somebody. You realize that God is a free flowing spirit of love that does not hurt, that does not seek to destroy anybody. His hands are always open, you know, and he's seeking to illuminate people. The will of God is that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. It is his pleasure to give us his kingdom. That is the mind of God. We have to understand the mind of God. Amen. See, let us stop, you know, fiddling and playing with, you know, religious doctrines that put people in fear, in bondage. Religious doctrines and, you know, beliefs that, you know, inject fear into people. People use the name of God to, you see, I've seen in many Pentecostal churches, people use the name of God to try to curse people. They use the name of God to try to, you know, to blackmail people. But this thing should not be. Praise hallelujah. Now I'm going to go further. Let us see. Let us examine the Holy Spirit deeper. What is the major work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let us go in John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the foundation of the world, or from the beginning. You see it? When the Spirit, the Comforter, comes, even the Spirit of truth, he comes from the Father, he proceeds from the Father, from the depths of the Father. He comes to lift us up. He comes to comfort us. So when you reject the Spirit of God, you reject the thing that is here to comfort you. It's simple. You reject your grace unto life. It's simple. See, without the Spirit of God, without the knowledge of Christ, we are already dead in our sins and trespasses. We are already going down that steep slope, further and further into destruction and ruin. So, but the Comforter comes to give us comfort, to bring us back to the place of rest. So when you reject him, you reject your comfort. Simple. Hallelujah. We move on. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, he shall testify of me. The Spirit of God shall testify of me. Now, who is he testifying about? Who is the me that he's testifying of? Of course, he's not testifying of Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago, no. He's testifying of Christ, the Son of God, who has been from the foundation of the world with the Father. See, he is testifying of the Son of God who has been even before any form came into being. The Spirit of God is testifying of Christ in you. He's testifying of your true immortal light nature in you. He's testifying of the glorious being in you that has been from the beginning with God. Praise God. The Spirit of God is here to remind you of these things, to awaken you to this reality, to awaken you to your origin, and cause you to unite back to the knowledge that you lost in your descent. When you are fully awakened, you will discover yourself back in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, it talks about the place you were before you fell. It talks about your place of authority. Praise God. It talks about the place of glory, the paradise of God, the bosom of God, the realm you were in before you descended into this, realm of destruction and darkness. So the Spirit of truth is here to illuminate you, comfort you, by restoring your knowledge, restoring you back to yourself, causing you to realize who you truly are in Christ. Praise God. You've been with me from the beginning, because you've been with me from the beginning. You've been in me, with me, in one. Christ, one body, many members. We've all been in Christ from the beginning. We've been in Christ from the foundation of the world. We are one. See, but somehow along the way we were scattered abroad in the darkness of this age. But the Spirit of God comes back to awaken us and gather us back into Christ. Testifies of Christ in us. And awakens us into that reality that we are all one spirit. Whether you be in Canada, in America, in Africa, in England, in wherever you are, in Italy, we are all one spiritual being. We are all one body. Many members, one body. We all originated from that one body. Oh, hallelujah. And God wants to restore us back to that one body. That is where the grace of God lies. That is where the blessings of God lie. See, he is above all, like John testifies, John the Baptist. See, the Father loves the Son, and he has given all things in the Son. All the power and all the glory and all the beauty and everything that is God is invested in the Son. But God wants us to unite back in this knowledge, to awaken back in this knowledge. So the Spirit of God, the Spirit of, you know, of God, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost restores us, leads us into all truths, reminding us from of our origin, awakening us to righteousness. See it? Awakening us to our true, perfect natures. We are not sinners. See it? We are not adulterers. We are not fornicators. We are not, you know, murderers. We are God. We possess the nature of God. The totality of nature of God is our nature. Spirit of God wants to wake us up. Awaken us. See, but if in the name of religion you reject this message, if in the name of religion or the vain glories of this world, you resist the Spirit of God, you resist the Spirit of God as He leads you back into your place in the invisible God, what happens is that you simply lose your grace unto life. Now we can remember the children of Israel, many of them perished in the wilderness. Many of them, you know, died of their bodies, littered the wilderness. 40 years, they roamed around the wilderness. Now, who are those that couldn't enter into the promised land? Who are those that, you know, whose bodies littered the wilderness? It is those who rejected the push of the Spirit of God. Remember that they were baptized into the same, that same cloud, which is the same as that, you know, fire by night, which is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. You see, they were to follow the leading of that cloud, and that cloud by day and the fire by night. They were to follow the leading into the presence of God, into the promised land, which is symbolic of the spirit realm of God's kingdom, which is where God is leading us today, leading the body of Christ today. Wherever you are, any part of the world, the Spirit of God is guiding you out from Egypt and leading you into the promised land, into His kingdom, a place of abundance where you shall lack nothing. Now, those who couldn't make it, those who rebelled, those who refused to, you know, submit to the Spirit of God, found, you know, died off in the wilderness. Now, God doesn't have to come down to strike anybody dead. When we reject the grace of God, we simply die off. We simply, you know, we die like ordinary men. Simple. That is it. Hallelujah. So let us understand the importance of the Spirit of God in our lives and allow the transformation work occur. See, we have to let go. When we talk of let go, a total letting go of every attachment we have with this world, this present world, and walk a life by faith in the Spirit. So Jesus Christ says that those that have left all for my sake will inherit eternal life. Those that have left all for my sake will inherit eternal life. Those that have left all for my sake will inherit eternal life. See, those that have left all for my sake, we have to leave all and begin to walk by the Spirit, by faith, leaving all. Everything we thought we were, everything we gathered unto ourselves as me, live all for Christ. See, and begin to walk a new life in the Spirit. And God is faithful to bring us to an expected end. This thing is gradual. As you walk daily with the Lord, He leads you and guides you into that realm of abundance, a realm where you shall lack nothing. Praise God. Now, but somebody will make a reference. But what of Ananias and Sapphira? What happened? They sinned against the Holy Ghost and they were struck dead. Can that thing happen anymore in the church? Now, these things are recorded in the Bible to teach us the deep things of God. Of course, it's possible that people can drop dead and all that. But bear it in mind that dropping dead physically, you see, does not change the matter. Some people who walk about physically with Bibles, going to church, paying their tithes, and doing all the religious works, are already dead, equally dead, dead in their ignorance and sins and trespasses. So, in this time and age, there's no point looking out for Ananias and Sapphira. Let's quickly go to Acts chapter 5. Let us, you know, analyze this thing that happened to Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira's wife sold the possession and kept back part of the price. His wife was also privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie on the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men rose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what had was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried their husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Praise God. So you can see there was great fear, and up to this day, very day, many people read these scriptures and, you know, think that they have the license to curse people. They have the license to, you know, to condemn people, to pronounce death judgment on people and all that kind of stuff. But that is not our calling. Praise God. Now, these things are recorded here for us to learn deeper secrets about the Holy Ghost and God's kingdom. See, today we are expected to give everything that is ours. See, this house here, this house, this body, has to be given over to Christ. Now, if this body is given over to Christ, if everything in me is given over to Christ, it means that everything that I thought I had is Christ. No longer I, but Christ. See it? Remember when Jesus Christ met the young man, the rich man? What he told the rich man was that you have to sell all your things, give to the poor, and follow me. See, the rich man is the man of the flesh. We have to live off everything of the flesh and give to the poor man, which is the man of the spirit. We have to distribute everything back to the spirit. So that right now the man of the spirit, which is Christ, lives in us and is no longer I. And that is the way it's supposed to be forever. See, this is the commandment of the Lord, that we come out of darkness, we come out of deceit, come out of death. If we carry on with our human nature, if we carry on with our human identities, we go down the steep path of death. Praise God. So the Spirit of God will simply cause you to yield totally 100% to Christ. You cannot have any possession on the earth. You can't have a treasure upon the earth, this physical natural world. Our kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom, the realm of the spirit. Praise God. The goods of this world, because we use them to clothe, to eat. We use them to move around, to do things while we are on this earth. But bear it in mind, our eternal possession is our spiritual body, which is Christ. So the Spirit of God expects us to unite in the knowledge of Christ, giving everything over. See, once we have treasure upon the earth, you only give room for the devil to come in and to corrupt that good work God has started in your life. So we must be totally loosened from every element of this world. Totally. If we want to work successfully with the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira are examples of those who try to hold back, who disobey the Spirit of God, who disobey the instruction of God to submit totally to Christ and try to play here and there. They are neither hot, neither cold. And like Jesus Christ says to the church of the Laodiceans, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you are neither cold, you are neither hot, you are neither here nor there. It's either you are with me or you are against me. You cannot stand on the fence in the things of God. Praise God. So we have to stir up ourselves and be obedient. Let the Spirit of God lead us. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God lead us. See, when we resist the Holy Ghost, when we refuse to receive the instruction or to walk in alignment with the teachings of Christ, of the Spirit, we wind up dying off. And it doesn't have to be a physical thing. See, you just continue on in the deceit and the corruption of this human world. Temporal entity, and you simply never taste of those brooks flowing with milk and honey. That's all. God does not come down to kill anybody, and he doesn't do it. He opens his hands for everybody. All we need is just to enter in and receive freely from God. He does not resist, nor does he take away anything. Anybody that asks receives. And what do you ask for? You ask for the bread of the kingdom, which is the Spirit of God. You ask for the Spirit of God so that you are illuminated and enlightened to enter into the place of rest. Praise God. So what have we learned now? We've learned now that there is only one sin in reality, and that is the sin against the Holy Ghost. It is rejecting the knowledge of God for the knowledge of man. See, it is rejecting the things of God for the things of man. Rejecting the things of the invisible God, the things that are eternal, for the temporary pleasures of this material world. And suffering the consequences thereof gravely. The consequences of death. And all the evil that we can see upon the earth. The Spirit of God gives us understanding, like we see in 1 John chapter 5. I have come to give you understanding of your part in God, of your portion in light, of your portion in that body of saints that manifest the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Lift us both back into that place where there is no more torment. A place where the knowledge of the Lord is as the waters cover the sea. That is what God wants to do to us. That is why He has given us His Spirit. Those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit. They receive the Spirit. Without the Spirit, we are dead. What does the Spirit do? It's not just to speak in tongues. No. It's not just for performing miracles. Yes, we perform miracles. Yes, we pray and we see the sick get healed. Yes. It's not just for that. But it's to cause us to awaken into the stature of the fullness of Christ. Any man that finds himself without Christ, any man that is not in Christ, has not seen life. You're just suffering. You're just living in torment, in fear, insecurity. See, the money and all your gathering here and there and all your human achievements cannot give you the paradise you are seeking. It can never. You will roam. You will try options upon options. You will never get there. We've seen people who became billionaires. People who were very poor. Who could barely feed when they were young. Who ended up becoming billionaires in their 40s. And when they became billionaires, they were not satisfied. They kept on searching for power until they lost their lives. See, there's no way a man can be satisfied or can come to a place where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A man cannot realize that self-satisfaction, that self-contentment, except he's found in Christ, except he's awakened totally in Christ. And that's what the Spirit is doing, awakening us. Breathing into us, awakening us, awake from the dead, and bringing us into the place of life. So sin against the Holy Ghost is the only way a man can enter into life. Receiving the Holy Ghost is the only way a man can enter into life. If you sin against the Holy Ghost, there remains no more sacrifice. There remains no more, nothing left. But we carry on in death. But if a man, decides in his heart to receive counseling from the Lord and to unite with the Lord and to follow the guidance of the Spirit of God, he will never taste death. So now we are understanding what Jesus Christ meant against blasphemy, against the Holy Ghost. What he meant against, about remittance and retention of sins. When we receive the Spirit of God, our sins are forgiven us. Our transgressions in Adam are forgiven us. And we get back into the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We inherited that in Adam. Because Adam, rejected the counsel of God. He refused to be aligned with the Spirit of God, but he aligned himself with the spirit of man, the spirit of the age. So he died off. He became a man of the dust. He died as a man. That is the wages of sin. That is the sin unto death. That is the sin against the Spirit of God. See, but in Christ, we receive that Spirit once more. The Spirit from the Father, illuminating us from the depths of God, the counsel of God, and lifting us back into the place of life, the right hand of God, the place of pleasure. Free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's the free gift of God. And we can only achieve this by receiving the Spirit of God, letting our minds be transformed so that we think after the Spirit, no more after the flesh, no more after the carnal thinking and understanding of men, but after the Spirit. Let us meditate, brethren. Hallelujah. What shall it profit a man if he gains this world and loses his soul? You see, people reject the Spirit because of gain, for the gain of this world. Because the Spirit of God projects you, it leads you back into living a life in the Spirit, away from this world. So most people fear that probably they might lose something on the earth. But bear it in mind that discovering ourselves in Christ means discovering the totality of God's power and favor. It's a realm of infinite impossibilities where nothing is impossible, where everything is possible. Oh, praise God. Shouldn't we be praising God? Hallelujah. So let us thank God for the Spirit of God and move on into life, inherit life. Let us take a hold of life, that which is eternal. Let us follow the true God. Believe Him, receive His Spirit. And let us enter into that place of life. Amen.